technology that we're using, the new technology. We thank you for a great breakthrough on last night. Thank you, Lord, for your leadership, guidance, and direction in that. As we are using the most expensive technology to spread your holy gospel and your holy word around the world, live on multiple platforms. We're on some new platforms today. And Lord, we pray that you would, in the words of one old preacher, cause your word to germinate and to be planted in new soil all around the world, your holy gospel. And Lord, have your Holy Ghost to draw and to set up divine appointments as you see fit. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would deliver us, each and every one of us who are saved. For Lord, people who are not saved, I can't even pray this for them, but Lord, I do pray for those who are saved. Holy Father God, deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us, Lord, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. And Holy Father God, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, and I'm praying this, Lord, to fulfill all righteousness. I'm praying it, Lord, because you commanded me to pray for all people. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love, in times like these, as your people. And I'm only praying for those who are saved, who are truly born again, whether they're going on strong for you or they're backslidden. Whatever the case, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to truly repent and get back to you, our first love. Revive us who are truly saved, Lord, again. Save those who are truly lost. Have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you will save those who are lost in this country and around the globe. Revive those who are saved in this country and around the globe. Heal those who are sick in this country and around the globe. If they are your children, help them to confess their sins and to repent. Call for the elders of the church to pray. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will comfort those who are grieving. Lord, just on yesterday, nearly 5,000 people went out into eternity in this country alone from the coronavirus plague. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would comfort those people as only you can. Holy Father God, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your holy scriptures for salvation and comfort. And Holy Father God, Lord, we pray that you would fill them and fill us here with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, if we do right by you on an individual basis, Lord, I would love to see everybody do it, but I'm praying, Lord, for those who are willing to do your holy word and humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways and repent and get back to you. So, Lord, for those who are willing to do that, I pray that you will bless them. And bless all of us who are willing to do that and deliver us from all of our spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, family, financial, material, food crisis, housing crisis, whatever the case is, for so many millions of people who are about to lose their home or don't have food to eat. And Lord, deliver us from our cares and worries. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. And Lord, we pray that people who have student loans, that all of that will be wiped away, considering the ongoing terrible situation, the ongoing plague because of our sin. And Lord, we pray that you would, those young people who are discouraged because of what's going on, help them to plow forward, because you have made a way for them to get their education still, not knowing what the future might be, but they can still get the education. And we pray that they will move forward with hope and faith. And Lord, we pray that you would deliver each and every one of us, Lord, who are willing to get right with you from all of our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions today. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, those who are willing to do right by you, deliver us, Lord, from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares, worries, and anxieties, and troubles, problems, and fears. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill those of us who are truly saved with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, and help us to be content with such things as we have. And Holy Father God, we pray that, Lord, you would bless and protect our family and all other Christian families and ministries and churches, Lord, from ourselves, from our flesh, and from the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it is so good to be with you on this morning, for we are living in perilous times. America, quite frankly, has never seen days like these before. But we are in them. And the best thing you can do, if you are a child of God, is to pray. You also need to humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, repent, and get back to your first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you experienced your first love, meaning if you were ever born again, if you can remember a time that you realized that you were not saved, you were lost, and then you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved your soul. And as I preached last night, you became a new creature in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead devotional time, service, if you will. This is Daniel White the Third, and let me say, not only ladies and gentlemen, but family, friends and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 48, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in the in chronological order. This unique Bible, this unique viewpoint, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today, beloved, we're reading Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing the Word of God at Genesis chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok, and Phallu, and Hezron, and Carmi, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jajin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, and the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, and Pharez and Zara. But Ur and Onan died in the land of Canaan, and the sons of Pharez were Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar, Tola, and Phuva, and Job, and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulun, Sered, and Elon, and Jaleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padanaram, with his daughter Dinah, all the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of Gad, Ziphion, and Haggai, Shunai, and Esbon, Eri, and Arodi, and Areli. And the sons of Asher, Jimna, and Ishua, and Ishuai, and Isui, and Beriah, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Berah, Heber, and Machiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela, and Beker, and Ashbel, Gera, and Naaman, Ehi, and Rosh, Mupim, and Hupim, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All of the souls were 14. And the sons of Dan, Hushim, and the sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, and Gunai, and Jezer, and Shalim. These are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave unto Rachel, his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls, all of the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds, and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and the detail of it as well. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches us your holy word and helps us to see things in your holy word every time we read it that we didn't see before. Help us to understand your holy word by the power of your Holy Spirit and to share it with others and to obey it and to preach your holy gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 749, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it or the understanding of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 8, where it says Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, along with prayer and the giving of the sense, the understanding of the Word of God, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing the gospel that Jesus Christ preached first and best when he said in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Today, dear friends, we are reading Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, your unction, and your anointing of your Holy Spirit to understand your holy word, to love it, and to live by it, and to apply it to our lives, and to share it with others. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Dear friends, I just read in your hearing Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now here is the sense of it. First, from the Matthew Henry commentary, the Holy God hates sin most in those nearest to him. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. The Holy God hates sin most in those nearest to him. A sinful state is and will be a woeful state. Yet they had the tokens of God's presence and all the advantages of knowing his will, with the strongest reasons to do his will, still they persisted in disobedience, similar to how people are in the church today. Alas, that men often are more active in doing wickedness than believers are in doing good. Now, from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, having described God's impending judgment on the countries surrounding Judah, the prophet Zephaniah again returned to the theme of Jerusalem's doom. He emphasized the need for the wicked Jews to seek repentance. The prophet listed God's grievances against his people and then pronounced God's inevitable judgment. The prophet made a general statement about Jerusalem's wickedness. She has sunk to the level of the heathen nations. Though Jerusalem is not named in Zephaniah 3:1, verse 2 shows that it was meant. Woe was a pronouncement of an indictment that was here threefold: a city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. This general threefold indictment was then elaborated in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. They oppressed their own people, were rebellious against their own God, and were defiled, spiritually speaking, religiously speaking. The Jerusalemites failed to heed the correction provided by the law and the prophets. Such rebellion was a failure to trust in the Lord and to be near him in fellowship and in worship. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, help us to learn our lessons from your holy word, and help us to humble ourselves and to pray in your church today, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to repent, and to get back to you, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic, magnificent work and book, devotional book titled Morning and Evening, I believe the best ever written. This is the podcast. This is episode number 361. Dr. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, chose for our devotional reading today 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then Dr. Spurgeon goes on to say, let us not imagine that the soul sleeps in insensibility. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. And I say, glory be to God. They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to him who washed them from their sins in his own blood. They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to him who washed them from their sins in his own blood. The body sleeps in its lonely bed of earth beneath the coverlet of grass. But what is this sleep? The idea connected with sleep is rest. And that is the thought which the Spirit of God would convey to us. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. I want you to get that, because some of you people need to get this. This is very important. I believe this. I have believed this for a long time. I do believe that you ought to take a daily Sabbath. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. Sleep shuts fast the door of the soul and bids all intruders tarry for a while, that the life within may enter its summer garden of ease. The toil-worn believer quietly sleeps, as does the weary child when it slumbers on its mother's breast. Oh, happy they who die in the Lord! They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their quiet repose shall never be broken until God shall rouse them to give them their full reward, guarded by angel watchers, curtained by eternal mysteries. They sleep on, the inheritors of glory, till the fullness of time shall bring the fullness of redemption. What an awaking shall be theirs! They were laid in their last resting place, weary and worn, but such they shall not rise. They went to their rest with the furrowed brow and the wasted features, but they wake up in beauty and glory, the shriveled seed so destitute of form and comeliness rises from the dust a beauteous flower. The winter of the grave gives way to the spring of redemption and the summer of glory. Blessed is death, since it, through the divine power, disrobes us of this work day garment to clothe us with the wedding garment of incorruption. Blessed are those who sleep in Jesus. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. It is so good, Lord, to read your holy word like this on a daily basis, because we are so sinful and so wicked. And because of our sinful nature and other reasons, Lord, we have a strange tendency to forget what we believe and know. And so I thank you for reminding us that we need to worship you and pray to you and read your holy word every day, not just on Sunday. And so, Lord, help us to take heed to this powerful reading of your scripture and of this devotion, Lord, because if we remember this, what we heard this morning from the Prince of Preachers, your servant, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, we will die easy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Dr. John Newton said the chief thing to be attended to is that family worship may be a spiritual service. The great evil to be dreaded and guarded against in the exercise of every duty that returns frequently upon us is formality. If a stated course is kept up as constantly in its season as the striking of the clock, in time it may come to be almost mechanically performed. Unless we are continually looking to the Lord to keep our hearts alive, and that is so important. Let's pray for all families. Holy Father God, help us to pray. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray not only this morning but throughout this day. We first pray, Lord, that you'll have mercy and grace upon those of us who name the name of Christ. Forgive us of our wicked sins of not obeying your great commandment or your great commission. We have failed you. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up laborers into the field, and the whited harvest field, to reap the whited harvest field for your glory, praise, and honor. Because we have not done so, generally speaking, we thank you, Lord, for your 7,000 and your remnant who are still on the firing line and who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would have your Holy Spirit to work mightily, Lord, in your people, to spread your holy gospel and on people who are not saved, and grant household salvation for millions of families across the country and around the globe before it is eternally too late. And Lord, we pray that you would help us who name the name of Christ, grant us your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to confess our sins, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast and blast the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirits of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, Tobias, and Demas out of all families that name the name of Christ, all ministries and all churches that name the name of Christ. Lord, I do pray that you'll help all Christian families to pray together and to obey together and stay together. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Join me, beloved, in reciting or reading the new Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, everybody, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, he became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. As you know, folks, we are reading Ephesians, the entire book, as our scripture reading. And today we are in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. In the King James Version, pay close attention to the Word of God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Holy Father God, thank you so much for your holy word, Old Testament and New Testament. Lord, have your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to help us to understand your holy word. Hide it in our hearts. Help us to meditate on it. For as your servant D.L. Moody said, unfortunately, we leak. We leak. So, Lord, fill us up and help us to follow your holy word and obey your holy word throughout this day and meditate on it and live by it and share it with others and proclaim your holy gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friends, we move over and we turn to the what I call the family verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, a passage of scripture that God led me to read to my family and with my family for over 33 years of marriage and family life. And the truth of the matter is, I would have never done that. I would have never had the thought to do that if I did not see the need to do that, starting with my wife, who was not raised in a Christian home, and came out of a hellacious family experience of domestic violence and rebelliousness and disobedience and foolishness. And so when I saw, we were both Christians. In fact, I was her pastor for a year. But I told her before we got married, we cannot do family life the way my family did it or the way her family did it. That's not going to work. So the only way to do it for us as Christians is God's way. And I meant it. And when I say I meant it, I meant that all bets are off if we don't do it God's way. And I told her that before we got married. So I said, it's your choice. And this is the way that God wants us to do it, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And so today we're back at God speaking to the wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, and 24. And I'm going to try to just read it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband. Be what? Subject unto their own husbands in everything. In everything. Period. Now, the only thing I will say is that I preached on those who are in Christ being a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are new. Now, if you are a saved woman, that passage should not offend you. You should not try to dismiss it. If you are a new creature in Christ, you should be eager to want to do it. If you are lost and you're not a new creature in Christ, you're going to have a problem with that passage. And I'm going to say, if the Lord tarries is coming and we live, I'm going to say the same thing tomorrow to husbands. If I remember to do that, but I plan on saying the same thing. If you are a new creature in Christ, you ought to welcome what we just read. You ought to be glad about it because it's God's way, and you know that it will work. It will eliminate 95% of the problems in your marriage if you would do that, wives. Okay? So let's pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all people in the ministry of government. We pray for their salvation and spiritual life, healing and blessing. We pray for their salvation. We pray for family and life blessings upon them. We pray, Lord, for mental and physical blessings, protection and provision blessings, and financial and material blessings upon all of these who are in the ministry of government. We pray, Lord, for all people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be believers in Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'll help all of us in this country and around the globe, Lord, to surrender all, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent. And to get back to you, our first love. Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of every lost sinner in this country and around the globe, in every family, in every church, in every business, in every form of government, in every form of media. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Ghost and your Holy Gospel would not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. We pray that you would revive those who are saved. We pray that you'll heal those who are sick. We pray, Holy Father God, that you would comfort those who are grieving like never before. Millions and millions are grieving today because of the death, the sudden, strange death of loved ones through the coronavirus plague. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would comfort them as only you can, draw them to yourself, and draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort. We also pray for all of the governments of the world, not only the American government. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that you would comfort, bless, and protect, lead, guide, and direct all of your Christian children who are being persecuted in China, in Nigeria, and in other places. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ now for all of the people who are hurting real badly, Lord, because of the death of loved ones. We pray, Lord, our prayer request to you for them, and we pray for some by name, but we pray for the millions who are hurting, and you know them by name, even though we don't. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray for the family and friends of California resident Charles Jackson. We pray for the family and friends of California musical director James Glicker Hernandez. We pray for the family and friends of North Carolina church member Kitty Richardson. We pray for the family and friends of Nevada resident Nancy Chapa. We pray for the family and friends of Utah teacher Eddie Valenzuela. We pray for the family and friends of Florida attorney Fred Levin. We pray for the family and friends of Mississippi tax collector Rose Patterson. We pray for the family and friends of California resident Margaret Soma. We pray for the family and friends of Florida church member Truzell Hayes. We pray for the family and friends of Texas resident Felicia Parker. And we pray that, Lord, you would comfort these people as only you can. And we pray, Lord, now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. For the thousands of people from around the world who have sent in prayer requests, protect them, Lord, from the coronavirus plague, and provide for them, Lord, and bless them with household salvation and spiritual blessings, family life blessings, financial and material blessings, protection and provision blessings, mental and physical blessings during this time. We pray for some by name, but Lord, we pray for all because we know that you know their name. We pray for Sudhir. Please deliver him from a financial crisis. We pray for Tamara. Please deliver her from drugs and alcohol and bless her with money for a new house. We pray for Naeem. Please bless him with 52 sponsors who will feed 100 people each week in 2021. We pray for Manjeet. Please heal him of mental illness and having bad thoughts. We pray for Michelle. Please save her soul. Help her to forsake all evil and sin and repent permanently and live her life for your glory. Help her to listen to you, trust in you, and get things right with her parents. We pray for Ashley. Please help her to work with people easily, for her family not to be dysfunctional. Please give her a best friend and help her to focus on school. We pray for Gwendolyn. Be with her in every area of her life. And Lord, we pray now for those who have gotten saved through the ministry, those who have rededicated their lives through the ministry. And Lord, we pray that you will help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. And we pray that you'll bless them in the same way that we have asked those who have sent in prayer requests to be blessed. Hear and answer all of their prayers. And we pray that you will protect them from the coronavirus plague. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless them with salvation, household salvation, spiritual blessings, family life blessings, protection and provision blessings, mental and physical blessings, financial and material blessings as well during these difficult days. We commit these souls into your hands. We pray for Keith, Smith, Yvonne, Margaret, Sophia, and Evelyn, Otara. And Lord, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you as well. We pray for Akashua, Esmeralda, Alubukola, Minimal, Rose, Kelvin, and Oni Inyi. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would bless them and keep them and use them for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Our devotional reading today is titled, What Makes God Smile? Part 8, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He goes on to say, my mother loved to cook for me. Even after I married Kay, when we would visit my parents, Mom prepared incredible home-cooked feasts. One of her great pleasures in life was watching us children eat and enjoy what she prepared. The more we enjoyed eating it, the more enjoyment it gave her. But we also enjoyed pleasing Mom by expressing our enjoyment of her meal. It worked both ways. As I would eat the great meal, I would rave about it and praise my mother for it. I intended not only to enjoy the food, but to please my mother. Everyone was happy. Worship works both ways, too. We enjoy what God has done for us, and we appreciate it. And when we express that enjoyment to God, it brings Him joy, but it also increases our joy. The book of Psalms says, the righteous are glad and rejoice in his presence. They are happy and shout for joy. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you so much for this wonderful, magnificent time together that you have blessed us to have around and with your holy word and with and through prayer and devotional material based upon your holy word is a power-packed time in a fantastic way, a great way to start the day. And I pray that from this foundation, much good would be done for the remainder of this day. I pray that you'll pave the way for us, open up doors for us, and Lord, cast the devil and the demons of hell out of our lives and from our lives. Rebuke and bind the devil in all of the blockages that he tries to put before us to hinder us from making progress on the King's highway. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us sweet victory for the remainder of this day over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Help everybody, Lord, from the foundation of this prayer time to pray without ceasing throughout this day and to keep their hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, therefore, in perfect peace. Save that soul that is nearest hell today. Grant me your energy, your grace, your strength, your unction, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach and proclaim your holy gospel at this time around the world. And we pray, Lord, that you would save those who are lost, revive and encourage those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power and the pain of sin and from the punishment of sin. From the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I hope that you will easily agree that you are a sinner, just as I am, and just as the Pope is, the Dalai Lama is, and even Joel Osteen is a sinner. We all have sinned against God, haven't we? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever told a lie and you were surprised that you lied? Have you ever stolen anything at all in your life, including some change from your father's drawer or from your mother's purse or some gum from your mother's purse or a piece of candy from a candy store down at Annie's candy store? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever lusted in your heart and mind after somebody or something? Have you ever coveted what other people have? You desired what they had. Have you ever dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected your parents in any way? Have you ever dishonored God by taking his holy name in vain? What if you've done any of these things, you have broken five. If you've done these things, rather, you've broken five of the Ten Commandments of God. That makes you a criminal in heaven before God. So we're all sinners. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Pardon me. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell immediately. In fact, if you were to die right now, having not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, in a moment of time, you would lift up your eyes in a devil's hell, in torments. Your body will go to a grave. Your soul will go to hell to spend eternity forever. You say, "Well, I thought there was a purgatory to go to first." No, there's no such thing as a purgatory. That is a lie that the Catholic Church told years ago to make money off of people. Dead people. Hell is a very real place, and there's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no place to go to get your sins purged, and all of that. Is heaven or hell? Is up or down? Is in or out? And so thirdly, you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on the road to hell because you've already sinned enough. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, in one of his many sermons on hell, in fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he came to save our souls from hell. He suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for our sins. He went through hell and went to hell to save us from hell. And he does not want you to miss out on what he did for you. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. That includes your sins. But he said in this sermon one day, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, to show you the seriousness of going to hell, Jesus Christ said, cut them off, amputate your hand or your foot if it's going to lead you to hell, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. That's what you will experience in hell when you die. Unsaved. There are millions there today. But they didn't have to go, and you don't have to go. One time in one of his many sermons, Jesus on hell, Jesus Christ said that it is a place. He described hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of pain and crying and torment. In another sermon, he said that hell is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Here are some people who will go to hell. For the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So hell is bad news, dear friend. Hell is sad news. But I have some good news for you. You do not have to go to hell. If you go to hell, that will be your choice. Because I'm getting ready to tell you how not to go to hell. How to be saved from hell. The same Jesus Christ who warned us about hell so many times is the same Jesus Christ who gave the good news about how to avoid going to hell when he said the most loving, most wonderful words ever said to human beings on earth and in the history of the world. When he said one night in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And so just follow the simple instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. He said, whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. We might not be all precious in each other's sight, but we are precious in God's sight. Whosoever believeth, the next word, believeth. The word believeth means to have faith, to trust in, and that's all you need to do to get saved, according to Jesus Christ. Just believe in him, and you should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means you will not go to hell, rather you will go to heaven, purely by the grace and mercy and love of God, by just believing in the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ. And just call on his name in prayer as you believe in Jesus Christ in your heart and ask him to save you, and he'll save you. If you're willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I'm willing to lead you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. The sinner's prayer. But allow me to lead you in the sinner's prayer, so that one day you can pray the Lord's Prayer and get your prayers heard by the Lord. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have done evil, and I have committed sin in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins, as I now believe in you. And please help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believed in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. for more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.